that there's no Masechta in Shas that talks about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. There is a Mishnah at the end of the sixth parak of Bava Kama that makes reference to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but there's no Masechta that deals comprehensively with all of the halachos of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Where did these halachos appear? Of course, we know that they appear in the second parak of Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnah in the second parak is discussing the psilos ushmanim, the different wicks and oils that a person should not light Ner Shabbos with because they're somewhat inferior. There's a concern that maybe the Ner might go out. So when the Mishnah discusses that, the Gemara mentions a machlokas amaroyim as to whether the same halacha applies to Ner Chanukah. There are some amaroyim, thank you, who claim that that just like when it comes to Ner Shabbos, a person should not light the Ner with psilos ushmanim that are somewhat inferior, so too for Ner Chanukah, the same halacha applies. Others distinguish, others claim that Ner Chanukah is different than Ner Shabbos, that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, there's no problem, a person can light the Ner Chanukah with any kinds of psilos ushmanim, as long as they're not terribly inferior, if they're only slightly inferior, there's no concern, and therefore a person would be allowed to do so. What's the machlokas amaroyim? Why should we assume that you could light with the inferior psilos ushmanim or not? So the Gemara in Shabbos says the machlokas is really revolving around a very lumdish topic. The question is whether kovsa zokogla or kovsa ein zokogla. Namely, the Manda Omar, the opinion in the amaroyim, who claims that Ner Chanukah is the same as Ner Shabbos, that a person really is not supposed to light the Ner Chanukah with psilos ushmanim, with wicks and oils and fuels, which are somewhat inferior. He holds that kovsa zokoglo, that if the Ner Chanukah is extinguished prematurely, there's an obligation to relight that Ner. And even though lighting with these inferior psilos ushmanim might not necessarily cause the Ner to go out, there's only a remote chance that the Ner would go out even if you light with these psilos ushmanim. But since there is a possibility that the Ner will go out, and the concern is that a person might forget to relight the Ner if it does go out, so this opinion holds that one is not supposed to light with those inferior wicks and oils, because we're concerned about that remote possibility. The other Manda Amar holds that Ner Chanukah is different than Ner Shabbos, that whereas when it comes to Ner Shabbos, one is not supposed to light with the psilos ushmanim that are inferior because we're afraid that the Ner might go out, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, that's not a concern, because kovsa ein zokokla, even if the Ner were to go out, even if it were to be extinguished prematurely, there'd be no obligation to relight that Ner. And since the potential, the possibility that the Ner is going to go out is only remote anyway, if one uses these inferior wicks and oils, we're not concerned about that. Even if a person were to forget to relight the Ner, were it to go out, he has fulfilled his mitzvah anyway, so there's not really much to be concerned about. This is how the Gemara presents the basic machlokas. The Gemara in Chof Aleph Amud Beis mentions that since Rav was of the opinion that Kovsa Ein Zokokla, Rav felt that you could light with these psilos ushmanim that are somewhat inferior, because he thought that Kovsa Ein Zokokla, so that's the way that we paskin that Kovsa Ein Zokokla. But then at the end of the sugya on Chof Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara is Sakasha. The Gemara says, how could it be that Kovsa Ein Zokokla? How can we understand this position, and how can we paskin that way? This is in the third to last line in section one of the Makoros. How could it be the kovsa ain't zokokla? But we have a brayso mitzvah of shetishka chama shetich leregel min hashuk. We know that the Ner Chanukah is supposed to remain burning from shkia, from sunset, until the last passerby has come in from the shuk, from the outside. My love, the kovsa hoder madlikla. Doesn't that imply that if the light goes out, one has to relight it? If the candle is supposed to remain burning until tich leregel min hashuk, so mistama if kovsa zokokla. Says the Gemara in Lo. The ilo adlik madlik. No, it doesn't mean a kovsa zokokla. Really, kovsa ain zokokla. If the candle goes out, if the Ner goes out, there's no obligation to relight it. So what does the Gemara mean that mitzvasa mishetish garchama shetuch laregel min ashuk? Says the Gemara, the ilo adlik madlik. The first possibility that the Gemara suggests is that the Brice is simply telling us the period of time in which a person has to light the Ner Chanukah. It's the window of opportunity that if he didn't light at Shkia until Tich L'Regel Min Ashuk, he can still light the Ner. V'inami L'Shiura. The other option the Gemara gives is maybe, even if Kovsa Ein Zokokla, but there's an obligation to put a certain Shir Shem, a certain amount of oil in the Ner. A person is going to light, let's say, at Shkia, but he's supposed to put the shemen in the nair so that it can last until Tichle Regel Menashuk, until the last passerby in the street is going to come inside. So these are the two options that the Gemara gives us. Really, we paskin akovsa ain't zokokla. The reason why the Braisa says that mitzvah, so the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is mishetishka achama shetichle regel menashuk, that's either to tell us the window of opportunity, when is a person still obligated to light the Ner Chanukah if he hasn't done so at the earliest possible time, if he hasn't done so at Shkia. Well, secondly, perhaps all the Braisa is telling us is the sheer shemen, the amount of oil that a person has to put in the Ner. He has to put enough oil that it can last until the last passerby has come inside. How can we understand this position, a kavsa ein zakaklo? What does that mean? That a person is supposed to light the Ner Chanukah in such a way that it can last, so that the passerby can see the Ner. We know the object, the goal of Ner Chanukah is Pesumei Nisa, to publicize the great miracle of the Pach Shemen. And yet, if the Ner goes out, some shitas in the Amoraim, and we pask in that way, hold the kavsa ein zakaklo. Ain't zakukla. There's no need to relight the Nair. How could that be? Kavsa ain't zakukla. But if the goal of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is pesumei nisa, one would imagine a kavsa zakukla. We should want the Nair to last as long as possible. The Chasam Sofer in his Chidushim to Masechta Shabbos, right there on the daf, he explains that the machlokas between the Mandam or kavsa zakukla or kavsa ain't zakukla is really a machlokas about the very nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. He says, the Manda Omar who holds that Kavsa Ein Zokokla maintains that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is fulfilled with the Maisa Hadlaka itself, with the act of lighting a Ner Chanukah. How do I define a Ner Chanukah? So that's what the Gemara is telling us, that Ner Chanukah is defined as a Ner that has the potential to be Mefarsem Denis. If Pirsumei Nisa of Ner Chanukah is a function of the passerby, a function of publicizing the miracle for those on the outside, so then defining the Ner Chanukah requires that the Ner have enough shemen that it could publicize the miracle as best as possible for those walking around outside. So, albeit one has to have such a Ner, you have to have a Ner that has the potential to publicize the miracle to the passerby, but the Manda Amar Kavsa Ein Zakukla holds that the Maisa Hadlaka itself fulfills the mitzvah. The act of lighting the Ner itself, as long as you have such a Ner that can be defined as a Ner Chanukah, it has the potential to be mefarsim the Nes appropriately, the act of Hadlaka itself fulfills the mitzvah completely. But the Manda Amar who says Kavsa Zakukla, he assumes that the Maisa Hadlaka is a Hechsher B'Yalma, it's just a preparatory act. It's not the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah. The way that the mitzvah is fulfilled is if you actually are mefarsim the neis, the nair has to be dolek, it has to burn the requisite amount of time, because only then will there be a full pirsumei nisa. The Manda Amar Kavsa Zakukla claims that the Maisa Hadlak is a hechsher b'yalma. It's a preparatory act necessary to reach the kiyum mitzvah. But the kiyum mitzvah, the mitzvah is fulfilled only if the Nair actually is mefarsim the Nais. And how does it do that? If it's actually burning the requisite amount of time. This, if you look in section 2, the Chasam Sofer writes that the machlokas is this, itiknu shi'iyah dolek ashir hazeh, v'ilo dolak lokiyah mitzivanu lahadlik, o ikar takonosam rak shi'iyah madak ba'ofen shi'iyah roi lidlok b'shir. The machlokas is, does the Nair actually have to last the shir until the passerby has come in, or does it only have to be roi to be dough like that shear? It has to have the potential. In order to define the Nair as a Nair Chanukah, it has to have the potential to be mefarsim the Nais, but the Maisa Hadlaka is really the way that a person is mekayim the mitzvah of Nair Chanukah. This understanding of the Manda Amar Kavsa Ein Zokokla, which is the way that we passed in, seems to be what the Shulchan Aruch understands as well. The Shulchan Aruch in Source 3, when he quotes this halacha, the Kavsa Ein Zokokla, he has a preparatory remark. He starts by saying, Hadlaka osa mitzvah, lufikach im kavsa kodem she'ovar zmana eino zakukla. Because Hadlaka osa mitzvah, which is quite an important phrase, the Gemara uses it in the Daf Gimel and Shabbos a little bit later on in a slightly different context. But the Shulchan Aruch uses it in this context right here. He says, Hadlaka osa mitzvah, meaning the Maisa Hadlaka is the way that a person fulfills the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, completely through the Maisa Hadlaka itself, by being madlik, by lighting a nair that has the potential to be mefarsim denais, that is a full fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Lefikach says the Shulchan Aruch, kavsa ein zakukla. If the light goes out, there's no need to rekindle the flame, Because one has fulfilled his obligation in the hadlaka itself by lighting the Ner Chanukah. So that would seem to imply, like the Chasam Sofer, that the Shulchan Aruch understands the Manda Omer of Kofsa in Zakokla, which is how we paskin. He maintains that the Maisa hadlaka is the full fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So there's no need to rekindle the light once it goes out. If he's kindled a flame that has the potential to be fireson the Neis for the appropriate amount of time, he's fulfilled the obligation, even if the light goes out later. This would explain another halacha that the Shulchan Aruch has in that sif. Later on in the second line, the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'chaynim la'achar she'edlika bolasakna v'kibos abishogeg enu zokotla." Shulchan Aruch says, likewise, if after a person has been madlik the Ner Chanukah, he tries to fix it up. Right? This could happen. You know, you have those floating wicks, or sometimes the other kinds of wicks. Not a good solid wick. But somehow it starts to turn over, the wick is fiddling around there with the flame, it goes out, it can go out, you see it's about to go out. So sometimes a person will try to fix it before it goes out. Try to fiddle with a match or something, with some kind of piece of wood, to make sure that it shouldn't go out. What's the din? Let's say the light is burning, he thinks it's about to go out, so he fiddles with the wick in order to make sure that it shouldn't go out. But the exact opposite of his intention occurs. What happens is that the light actually goes out as a result of his action. Now maybe it would have gone out anyway, but the fact is he was mechaber b'shogeg. Accidentally he put out the ner. This is not kovsa. Kovsa means it goes out by itself. Here he was mechaber b'yadayim b'shogeg. It was b'shogeg, but it was b'yadayim. The Shulchan Aruch says, eino zakokla. Not only kovsa by itself, eino zakokla, but even if kiba b'yadayim, as long as it was b'shogeg, he's not zakok to that ner either. There's no need to rekindle that ner. Why not? Why not? It didn't go out by itself. So why shouldn't he have to rekindle the ner? The answer is based on the three words that the Shulchan Aruch started this sif. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. If the maisa hadlaka is the beginning and the end of the mitzvah, one fulfills the mitzvah completely by lighting a ner that has the potential to be mefarsim the neis, so then it shouldn't matter, no matter how he's mechaber the ner, whether it goes out by itself, whether he's mechaber b'yadayim, whether he actively puts out the ner, it shouldn't matter. He fulfilled the mitzvah when he lit a ner that has the potential to be mefarsim the neis appropriately, so it shouldn't matter even if he's mechaber b'yadayim. The Shulchan Aruch finds its source in a tshuva of the Rashba. That's in source 4. The Rashba both says he coins this term. He uses the term hadlaka osa mitzvah to explain the din of kavsa eino zakokla. And then the Rashba says exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says, that even if a person is mechaber b'yadayim, as long as it was b'shogeg, he shouldn't be zakokla, he shouldn't have to relight the ner. Based on this understanding of kavsa eino zakokla, what should emerge is that even if a person wants to relight the ner, let's say the ner goes out by itself, but the person wants to relight the ner. Is there a mitzvah min amuchar? Is there any hidden mitzvah to relight the ner? At first glance, not. He's done everything he had to do. He lit a ner that has the potential to be mefarsim the neis. Why should it matter if the ner goes out? He shouldn't have to relight the ner. Not only should he not have to relight the ner, l'chora, there should be no hidden mitzvah in relighting the ner either. Relighting the ner would be almost tantamount to lighting Eres Chanukah twice in one evening. You light the first menorah, and then you light a second menorah. Should you do that? Obviously not. There's no need to light a second menorah. You light a single menorah and you mekayim the mitzvah completely. If one is to relight the ner after its kavsa, if you assume that the maisa hadlaka is the total mitzvah, the mitzvah is fulfilled by lighting a ner that has the potential to publicize the miracle to the passerby, so then there should be no need, even out the hidden mitzvah, there should be no need to relight the ner, even if a person wants to. In fact, the Prima Godin there in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Gimel makes this point. He says that there's no mitzvah min amuchar to relight the ner. Once kavsa, since kavsa in zakokla, there's no need to relight the ner at all. What's more, if you think about it for a moment, even if a person is mechaber the ner b'yadayim, even if he extinguishes the ner b'mezid intentionally, at first glance, if you hold kavsa in zakokla and you assume kavsa in zakokla is built on the fact that the maisa hadlaka fulfills the mitzvah completely, there shouldn't be any need to relight the ner in that circumstance either, because he was mekayim the mitzvah completely already. Why should he have to relight the ner? It shouldn't only be in a case where he's mechaber b'yadayim b'shogeg. Even if he's mechaber b'yadayim b'mezid, he shouldn't have to relight the ner, because the mitzvah is over. Once the maisa hadlaka is done, it's over. The poskim are not so sure about that. The same Prima Godin points out that if someone is mechaba biyadayim b'mezid, he thinks he should have to relight the neder, but not because he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah. He really did fulfill the mitzvah completely. The only thing is, Chazal put a special knas on this individual. Since he was posheya, since he was negligent with the Ner Chanukah, and he did something that will minimize the goal of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, he compromised the Pursum Enisa, because now that he put out the Ner will no longer be able to publicize the miracle completely to all the passerby, because they're not going to see it. Now it's not burning any longer. So because he compromised the goal of Pursum Enisa, the goal of the mitzvah, Chazal put a knas on him. But not because he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. He really did fulfill the mitzvah completely. Chazal put an extra knas on him because he compromised the goal of Pursum Enisa, the goal of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. This is one way that we can understand the Gemara d'Amar, the Kavsa Ein Zokokla, that the Maisa Hadloka itself fulfills the mitzvah completely. It's just that the Maisa Hadloka means that you have to light a ner that has the potential to fulfill the idea of Pursum Enisa completely. The Marshal, in a tshuva, seems to disagree with this approach to Kavsa Ein Zokokla. Why? Because first of all, the Marshal disagrees with the Rashba. The Marshal assumes that if a person is fixing up his neros and he's mechaba the ner biyadayim, zokokla, he has to relight the ner. That's in the second line in Suas 5. V'imbol asakein haneros v'kiba, nira the tzarech lachzer lahadlik, afilu v'kiba b'shogek. The Marshal says someone who's fixing up his neros chanukah, he thinks that they're going to go out, and he's mechaba the b'shogek, he accidentally puts them out, he has to relight the neros. If we understand that the mitzvah is fulfilled with the Maisa Hadlaka, with the act of lighting a ner that has the potential to burn for the requisite amount of time, so why should he have to relight the candle if he was mechaba b'shogeg? If the only reason why he has to relight the candle if he's mechaba b'mezid, as the Prima Gadim says, is because Chazal put a special knas on him, the knas wouldn't apply to kibbeh b'shogeg. So why should he have to relight the ner in such a case? He fulfilled the mitzvah completely through his act of lighting the ner that has the potential to publicize the miracle appropriately. He's fulfilled the mitzvah completely. There should be no need to relight the ner. How can the Marshal argue with the Rashba? How can he argue with the Shulchan Aruch's Psak that if someone is mechaber biyadayim but only b'shogeg, there's no need to relight the ner? But secondly, the Marshal, in his first line, he says that even if kavsa ain't zakokla, even if we say b'di'eved ain't zakokla, a person doesn't have to relight the ner. L'chatchila, a person really should. He said, Hadakovsa, he says, Hadakovsa in Zagabla, Hainu Lachiv. Avala Rosa Lizkos, Mitzvah Shlema, Yachzer, Viyadeg, Glogara, Minamahadra. L'chatchila, Mitzvah, Minamuch, a person really should relight the Nair, even if Kovsa ain't Zagabla. How could that be? If we understand that the Maisa Hadlaka fulfills the Mitzvah completely, so why should he have to relight his Nair? He's done the Mitzvah completely. What should be the need to relight the Nair? So these two statements of the Marshal lead one to believe that maybe the Marshal had a different understanding as to why Kavsa ain't Zokokla. I think maybe the Marshal, even though he doesn't write explicitly in the Tshuva, what he really was referring to is something that Reb Shlomo Kluge in his Hagos Chachma Shlomo on Shulchan Aruch writes. It's interesting, the Marshal wrote a parish Chachma Shlomo on Shas, but the Chachma Shlomo on Shulchan Aruch is not the Marshal. That's Reb Shlomo Kluge's later Hagos. But interestingly enough, the Chachma Shlomo on Shulchan Aruch can help us explain this particular Marshal in Hilchos Chanukah. It's just an interesting point. Reb Shlomo Kluge suggests that Kavsa Ein Zokokla has nothing to do with an understanding that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is fulfilled with the Maisa Hadlaka. No. Reb Shlomo Kluge says that even the Manda Amar Kavsa Ein Zokokla admits that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is only fulfilled if there's actual Pursum Ein Isa, if the Ner is Dolik. Everyone admits to that. The goal of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to be mefarsim the neis. And the only way that one fulfills the mitzvah is if he actually is mefarsim the neis for the requisite amount of time. If we're trying to be mefarsim the neis for the passerby on the outside, so then the Ner Chanukah has to burn until the last passerby has come inside. Everyone admits to that. That's how the mitzvah of Shleimusa is fulfilled. So why does the Mandam or Kavsa in Zakakla hold that you don't have to relight the Ner if it goes out? Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, it's based on the old principle that onus rachmona patre. We know that in Kol HaTorah Kula, both in Yisurim and in Mitzvah Saseh, the Torah exempts a person who's forced into a situation. If he didn't put himself into that situation, if he's just onus, if he's forced into that situation accidentally, So then the Torah exempts him. He'll exempt him from a mitzvah. There won't be a problem if he violates Yisurim. He won't be chayav onshin. So maybe we should understand the Man D'Amar Kav Sein Zokoglo in a similar fashion. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah requires that the Ner should be dolik for the requisite amount of time. If a person is not mefarsim the neis to the passerby, to the audience of the Pirsumei Nisa, he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah completely. The only thing is, Onos Rachmana Patre tells me that Chazal will exempt him. They won't be matriach. They won't put the burden on him to relight the Ner. Once he was Yotze the mitzvah somewhat, if he was Yotze the mitzvah a little bit, he lit the Ner. And clearly he was mefarsim the Nes to someone, so once he had a miktsas kiyam, if he had a partial kiyam mitzvah, so then Chazal would not be matriachim to relight the Ner. If you look at Suas 6, Rav Shlomo Klugin, as Chachma Shlomo says, Madakovsa in Zavagla, Havirak mitam da'onis rachmana patre, v'lochivu lachzor l'troach lahadrik. So he adds at the end, Al kapodim kiyum mitzvah leka, v'lo is avid mitzvoso. He doesn't have a kiyum mitzvah. What does that mean? I don't think he means to say that there's no kiyum mitzvah whatsoever. If he lit the Ner Chanukah after Shkia and a passerby saw it, or people in his home saw it, he was mekayim the mitzvah somewhat. The answer is he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah completely. Bishlei Musa, he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah. He has a partial kiyum, but he really did not fulfill the mitzvah in the best possible way, because the Man D'Amar Kav Sein Zokoglo holds that the Maisa Hadlaka is not sufficient. That's just a hechsher. That's a preparatory act that creates the Ner that will help you fulfill the mitzvah. But without the Ner actually burning for the requisite amount of time, without the passerby actually seeing the Ner and you being mefaris in the Nes as appropriately as possible, you will not fulfill the mitzvah completely. This, I believe, can explain the opinion of the Marshal. The Marshal, first of all, disagrees with the Rashba. Why? Because the Marshal assumes that the only reason why Kav Sein Zokoglo is because Onus Rachmana Patre. Onus Rachmana Patre is a klal that applies to Onus. Onus and Shogeg are not the same thing. Onus means if a person were forced into the situation. Shogeg, in the context that the Rashba is talking about, Shogeg means a person put himself into the situation of his own volition. He went to fix the Neiros Chanukah. But Shogeg, he put them out. But he got involved in the process. That's not Onus, that's Shogeg. So if we assume the Kav Sein Zokoglo is only because Onus Rachmana Patre, so then in a situation in which Bishogeg accidentally, a person were Mechaber the Neiros Chanukah, he'd have to relight them because he didn't fulfill the mitzvah properly. And the special dispensation that Chazal made, that they weren't matriach, they didn't put the burden on the person to relight the Neir, that doesn't apply to him. He's not an Onus, he's a Shogeg, so therefore he'd be chayiv to relight the Neir. Similarly, we can understand why the Marshal felt that there's a mitzvah in Amuchar, even if Kovsa, if the Ner Chanukah went out by itself, there's a mitzvah in Amuchar to relight the Ner against the opinion of the Prima Godim. That's because the Marshal assumes that really a person is not Mekayim the mitzvah Mishlei Musa unless the Ner Chanukah lasts the requisite amount of time. The Maisa Hadlaka is just a Hechsher mitzvah. It's not the full fulfillment of the mitzvah. The only way that you fulfill the mitzvah completely is if the Ner Chanukah lasts. So that's why, even if Chazal gave you a dispensation, Chazal said the Kav Sein Zokoglo, that if it goes out, there's no obligation to relight it, that's a ptur, that's a dispensation. Chazal will make it for you. But that doesn't mean that you fulfilled the mitzvah completely. So if you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah completely, we can understand why the mitzvah min amuchar would require of you to relight the Ner. Okay, so what emerges is that according to the Marshal, there's a very different understanding in this Machlokas HaMaroyim. Machlokas HaMaroyim, or the Kavsa Zogoglo, or Kavsa Ein Zogoglo, is not a machlokas about the very nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, as the Chasam Sofer thought. It's not a machlokas as to whether the mitzvah is fulfilled with the Maisa Hadlaka itself, or it's only fulfilled if the Ner is Dolek, if you're actually Mefaris in the next. No, what the Marshal holds is that everyone assumes that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah appropriately, you need actual Persumeni, so the Ner has to be Dolek for the requisite amount of time. The machlokas is whether Chazal were matriach, they put the burden on the individual to relight the Ner, if he's already fulfilled the mitzvah partially, but he didn't fulfill the mitzvah completely. Did Chazal put the burden on the individual to relight the Ner in order that he should fulfill the mitzvah bishlei musa? Or did Chazal say, as long as there's already a partial kiyum mitzvah, there's no obligation to relight the Ner in order to fulfill the mitzvah completely? We've assumed that according to the Marshal, the only time that we'll say the Kav Sein Zokoglo is if a person has already partially fulfilled the mitzvah. If he hadn't fulfilled the mitzvah at all, then even the Marshal would admit that Kav Sein Zokoglo. This could help explain a third halacha that the Marshal has, and that is, what's the halacha if on Erev Shabbos the lights go out by themselves? If Kavsa be'Erev Shabbos, should you say Kavsa Zokogla in that circumstance? Or would you say Kavsa be'Erev Shabbos is the same din as Kavsa be'Chol, on any other day of Chol? Then Kavsa ain't Zokogla. The Marshal assumes that even if Kavsa be'Chol, if the Ner Chanukah goes out on a regular weekday, ain't Zokogla, but if on Erev Shabbos the Ner Chanukah goes out, a person has to relight the Ner. That's the middle halacha there in Suas 5. If on Erev Shabbos a person lights the Ner, and when do we light Erev Shabbos? We light before Shkia. The Marshal is of the opinion that Kavsa Zokogla, that's another exception to the rule. Kavsa in Zokogla only means, according to the Marshal, if it goes out any other day of the week. But if on Erev Shabbos and on Friday we're lighting the Ner Chanukah, and then before Shkia it goes out, obviously if after Shkia it goes out there's nothing you can do, you can't relight the Ner. But if before Shkia it goes out, one is obligated to relight the Ner. Why does the Marshal assume that Kavsa be'Erev Shabbos is an exception to the rule? So we could explain simply, maybe the Marshal understood that the only time a Kavsa in Zokogla is if a person has already partially fulfilled the mitzvah. As we said before, the Marshal is of the opinion that Chazal didn't put the extra burden on the individual to relight the Ner once he's already partially fulfilled the mitzvah. But the Marshal holds that since Erev Shabbos is the exception to the rule, when we light on Erev Shabbos, we're lighting before Shkia, and before Shkia, presumably one can't fulfill the mitzvah. Why not? Because there's no significance to the Ner before Shkia, as the Gemara in Chulin or in other places uses a phrase, Shraga b'tira maya hani, Shraga, a light in midday, a light when the sun is shining, what does it accomplish? There's no significance to the Ner until after Shkia. Marshal assumes that one can't fulfill the mitzvah until after Shkia. One can't even begin to fulfill the mitzvah until after Shkia. So that's why he holds that if on Erev Shabbos the Ner is Kavsa, Zokokla. If it's Kavsa before Shkia, since you haven't even started fulfilling the mitzvah, of course Zokokla. The only time the Kavsa ain't Zokokla is if you light after Shkia. So if you light after Shkia on a regular weekday, and you've already partially fulfilled the mitzvah, then we can understand why Chazal will not put the extra burden on you to relight the Ner. But if on Erev Shabbos you light the Ner, and it goes out before Shkia, why shouldn't you be Zokokla? You haven't even begun to fulfill the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees with the Marshal about this point as well. The Shulchan Aruch, back in Suas 3, it says, V'afilu kofsa be'Erev Shabbos kodeh kabbalah Shabbos, eino Zokokla. Hadloko osa mitzvah, Kavsa in Azogogla, even Be'erev Shabbos, Kavsa in Azogogla. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say that Kavsa in Azogogla, both Bechol and Be'erev Shabbos? So there are different ways that you can explain. The simple explanation you can give for the Shulchan Aruch could be along the lines of the Chasam Sofer. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch holds that the Manda Omar who claims Kavsa in Azogogla is because he holds Hadlako as the mitzvah, meaning the Maisa Hadlako fulfills the mitzvah completely. So therefore, since on Erev Shabbos Chazal were misakein to do the Maisa Hadlaka before Shkia, one fulfills his obligation completely with that lighting. One could explain the Shulchan Aruch in that way, very simply. Erev Shabbos, a person can't light after Shkia, so Chazal were misakein, they instituted that a person has to light after before Shkia. So once you light the Ner Chanukah, and there's the potential in that Ner Chanukah to publicize the miracle properly for half an hour after Shkia, so then everything is fine, so you fulfill the mitzvah completely. That, in fact, seems to be what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, because he links this up to his first statement. He says, "Hadlokos the mitzvah lefikachim kavsa konim she'overs mana eno zokokla." And then he continues, "If kavsa be'erev Shabbos eno zokokla, if kiba osa b'shogeg eno zokokla." He links all three halachas together, because the Shulchan Aruch l'shitaso is assuming that the mitzvah is fulfilled with the ma'isa hadlaka. So the ma'isa hadlaka is the full fulfillment of the mitzvah. Of course, even if you're mechaber b'shogeg, there shouldn't be a problem. Be'erev Shabbos, there shouldn't be a problem either. Because once Chazal were masakin to do the ma'isa hadlaka before Shkia, you fulfill the mitzvah once you lit the candle before Shkia. The Taz, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, seems to disagree. He suggests a different approach. This is in Source 8. You'll turn to page 2. The Taz, it's a long piece, we don't have to read the whole thing, but the Taz seems to assume, like Reb Shlomo Kluger, that really the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is only fulfilled if the Ner is dolig, if the Ner burns for the requisite amount of time. If that's the case, so why on Erev Shabbos would you say Kavsa and Zogogla, but Mestama, the mitzvah can't begin until after Shkia? That's when the Ner gains significance. There's no significance to the Ner before Shkia, so why should the mitzvah begin? Says the Taz, because you can't light the Ner on Erev Shabbos after Shkia, So maybe Chazal instituted that the mitzvah actually begins when you light the ner before Shkiyah. He says, picking it up with line 2, El Debishabah, She'ev Shalahamten at Shkiyah Sachama Behadlaka, Vetzarach Lahaskel Kodim Lo, Mikri Osa Shoah, Zman Haskhala Kamo Bechol Misov Shkiyah. He says, this is the Zman Haskhala, the Tchilas HaMitzvah could be when you light an air. Even though on Erev Shabbos you're lighting it before Shkiyah, so what? Maybe that's what Chazal were actually misakin. And he goes further. He says, V'zehu lo mikri hechshe mitzvah, ela mitzvah ma mishavah. It's not just a hechshe mitzvah. It's not just a preparatory act, create the ner so that you'll fulfill the mitzvah after Shkiyah. No, it's the mitzvah itself. The Zman HaSchol on Erev Shabbos starts with the Maisa Hadlaka before Shkiyah, because kach tiptum chachamim. Since you can't light after Shkiyah, kach tiptum chachamim, that the mitzvah actually begins before. If that's the case, then we can understand very simply. We can understand simply that the Marshal, that the Shulchan Aruch holds that Kavsa Zakukla, that Kavsa Ein Zakukla, even on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because the mitzvah has already begun. The Kiyum mitzvah has already begun. So the Kiyum mitzvah has already begun, even if you'll take the approach of Reb Shlomo Kluger, even if you take the approach that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is fulfilled not through the Maisa Hadlaka, but rather through the Ner being Doleg, the Ner burning for a certain amount of time, you have that here. Why? Because since on Erev Shabbos, one has to light the Ner Chanukah early before Shkiyah, so Chazal were misakin that the Kiyum mitzvah actually begins with the Hadlaka before Shkiyah. So once you have the partial Kiyum mitzvah, the same old halacha will kick in. The kavsa in zakoglo, one doesn't have to relight the ner because he's already fulfilled the mitzvah partially. The Shulchan Aruch didn't explain that way. The Shulchan Aruch assumed the kavsa be'er Shabbos saying zakoglo because the mitzvah is fulfilled with the hadlaka itself. So it doesn't matter that you're lighting before Shkiyah. Kach tiknu chacham to light before Shkiyah, and that's the full mitzvah. The Taz seems to say more than that. The Taz is saying, no. The mitzvah actually requires the ner being dolek. The ner has to last a little bit. There has to be some kind of pirsumei nisa. But Chazal instituted that since on Erev Shabbos one can't light after Shkiyah, the mitzvah actually begins, not just the hechshe mitzvah. The mitzvah actually begins before Shkiyah. So once the mitzvah begins, kavsa in zakoglo, one will not have to relight the ner because you have a partial kiyum mitzvah. In a tshuva of the Tshuva Sadeshen, which seems to be the real source of the Shulchan Aruch, the author of the Tshuva Sadeshen seems to suggest a third approach. He seems to say that the mitzvah of Chanukah is not fulfilled with the Maisa Hadlaka, but rather you need an actual Pirsumei Nisa, the Ner has to burn. But he goes one step further than the Taz. The Taz makes reference to the comment of the Tshuva Sadeshen, and he disagrees with him explicitly. What the Tshuva Sadeshen suggests is that even if you'll assume that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is fulfilled through the Ner Dolek, that there has to be a Ner actually burning and being a farce in the mitzvah, and you'll assume that the Zman HaMitzvah on Erev Shabbos is not shifted to before Shkiyah, against the Taz, the mitzvah hasn't begun yet. Nevertheless, I can give you a reason as to why Kavsa ain't Zagabah. That if Kavsa of Erev Shabbos, there's no need to relight the Ner. How could that be? If we don't shift the mitzvah to before Shkiyah, to say that the mitzvah actually starts when you light the ner before Shkiyah, and we don't say that the Maisa Hadlaka is the entire mitzvah, so how can we say Kavsa and Zagokla if you light the Ner Chanukah Erev Shabbos? Says the Tshuva Sadeshen, maybe the reason why Kavsa Erev Shabbos and Zagokla is because even a Hechsha mitzvah might be enough to say that Ein Zagokla. What does that mean? The Tshuva Sadeshen says that the lighting of the Ner Chanukah on Erev Shabbos before Shkiyah is only a Hechsha mitzvah b'yam, it's not a real fulfillment of the mitzvah. Because there's no significance to the Ner until Shkiyah. Even though Chazal instituted that you should light before Shkiyah because there's nothing else you can do, you can't light after Shkiyah, that doesn't make it a Kiyah mitzvah. The Tshuva Sadeshen assumes you can't have a Kiyah mitzvah when it comes to Ner Chanukah until after Shkiyah, because that's when the Ner takes on significance, that's when people notice the Ner. So why would I assume that Kavsa be'erev Shabbos ain't Zokokla? You haven't done anything. The Maisad luck is not enough. And the Nair hasn't burned during the proper period of time because it hasn't started burning during Shkiyah. So how can we say that Kavsa ain't Zokokla? Says the Tshuva Sadeshen, even if you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, but you've done a Hechsha mitzvah, since it's Eivshar be'inyan acher, there's no other way to function. You have to light the Ner Chanukah before Shkiyah. So that is a Heksher Mitzvah, and he says that sometimes a Heksher Mitzvah, Al Pidin, is viewed as a Kiyum Mitzvah. It's viewed as a partial Kiyum Mitzvah. He brings an interesting riot from the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos and Avav, in the Sugya of Asei Doch Alozes, a big Lomdish Sugya. So there the Gemara is trying to bring a riot in the middle of that whole long Sugya that maybe Asei can be Doch Alozes Asei Sheyesh Bokaris. Maybe an Asei not only can be Doch a regular Loz Asei, but even a Loz Asei Sheyesh Bokaris. What's the riot? The Gemara says we know that the mitzvah of Kibbur Av is very important, but it's not Docha Shabbos, it's not Docha Isurei Daraisa. Right? The Pasuk says, Ishimo v'yaviv tiro v'yesh shabsosai teshmaru kuchem chayavim b'chvodi. The Torah says that if the father or the mother tells the child to violate one of the Isurim of the Torah, one of the Tariq mitzvahs, the child is not allowed to listen. Xeris HaKosov, that the mitzvah of Kibbur Av is not going to be Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if not for the fact that there would be a Xeris HaKosov to tell me that the mitzvah of Kibbur Av is Docha Shabbos, I would think it really should be Docha Shabbos. But clearly that's what the Pasuk is telling me. The mitzvah of Kibbur Av should be Docha Shabbos, and how is it going to be Docha Shabbos? Feeding a father does not violate any one of the Lamentes Melachos. So what should be the problem? Obviously we're talking about a case, as the Gemara itself says, where the father says, Shchot li basheli, the father says, Shecht for me something, cook for me something. And that act is a violation of the Melach of Shchito, the Melach of Bishol. So I would think that the mitzvah of Kibbur Av would require that the son should shecht for his father, or cook for his father, that the son has to be more concerned about the Tariq mitzvahs, about the dinim of the Torah, and not about the mitzvah Kibbur Av. He shouldn't be concerned with what the father is telling him. So the Gemara says, if not for the Gzeres HaKosov, it would appear that the mitzvah Kibbur Av is going to be docha, even a Loz HaSei Sheyesh Bokaris, even Melech HaShabbos. Now just one second, is this a real mitzvah of Kibbur Av that we're talking about? Not really, it's just a Heksher mitzvah. So from this Gemara you see that a Heksher mitzvah al pidin is treated as a real Kiyum mitzvah. The concept of Asei Docha Loz Asei is only going to apply by a Kiyum mitzvah. A Kiyum mitzvah daraisa might be Docha Loz Asei. So the Gemara is expanding and extending that principle and saying maybe it should apply to Loz Asei Sheyesh Bokaris. But if you were to assume that a Heksher mitzvah is just that, it's only a Heksher mitzvah, it's not a Kiyum mitzvah, what's the connection to the whole sugya? Just because an Asei mitzvah Asei will be Docha Loz Asei Sheyesh Bokaris, how can a Heksher mitzvah be Docha Loz Asei Sheyesh Bokaris? So apparently the Gemara is assuming that a Heksher mitzvah al pidin vis-a-vis the concept of Asei Docha Loz Asei is treated as a Kiyum mitzvah. Says the Chumash Hadash, and the same should hold true regarding the concept of Kofsa Zogok Lo. If we'll treat Heksher mitzvah like a Kiyum mitzvah for Asei Docha Loz Asei, so then for Kofsa Zogok Lo we should say the same thing. And since when one lights on Erev Shabbos, one has to light before Shkia, there's no way that you can light after Shkia, so the lighting Erev Shabbos before Shkia is a Heksher mitzvah. It's a necessary preparatory act that you have to do to fulfill the mitzvah. Yes, it is true that the mitzvah proper perhaps only begins after Shkia, because that's when the Ner Chanukah takes on significance, but the Heksher mitzvah starts even before Shkia. And if regarding Asei Docha Loz Asei, we treat the Heksher mitzvah halachically, al pidin, we treat it like a Kiyum mitzvah, then presumably for the concept of Kofsa Zogla, we should treat it as a Kiyum mitzvah as well. He brings a further raya, since we make a bracha lahadlik ner shel Chanukah on that hadlaka on Erev Shabbos, so you see we treat it like a mitzvah. It's Sivanu lahadlik, we're calling it a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, you haven't done the mitzvah yet, the mitzvah is later. So how can you make a bracha? The answer is, we assume that the Heksher mitzvah is treated like a mitzvah, al pidin. So if it's treated like a mitzvah pidin, then we can understand kavsa zavakla, because halachically the mitzvah has already begun. Even though the mitzvah proper hasn't begun as of yet, but the heksher mitzvah has begun. And al pidin, a heksher mitzvah is defined as a kiyum mitzvah. So maybe that's why we could say the kavsa ein zavakla. Just to sum up, we have so far two different shitas. We have the machlokas, the marshal, and the chasim sofer. As to how to understand this opinion, the Kofsa in Zogoglo. The Chasim Sofer assumes that this opinion is saying a creative chiddush in terms of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah itself. That as opposed to saying that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is fulfilled through the Pirsumei Nisa, through the fact that the Ner is Dolek, this opinion holds that the Maisa Hadloka, the act of lighting itself, once you light a Ner that has the potential to burn for the requisite amount of time to be in Faras and the Nes, you fulfill the mitzvah completely. The Marshal perhaps is assuming that everyone agrees that the mitzvah Ner Chanukah is not fulfilled with the Maisa Hadlaka, but rather with the Ner Dolek, the fact that the Ner is burning for the requisite amount of time to be in Faras and the Nes. The machlokas is, did Chazal obligate the individual to be matriach, to relight his nair, if it goes out? And we said there are several nafkaminas, several practical differences between the shitas. Let's say a person is mechabah the nair b'shogeg, when he wants to fix the nair. Is there a mitzvah min amuvchar? Is there a din l'chatchila, any hinder to relight the nair if it goes out by itself? And we said maybe, partially, the idea of Kavsa Be'er Shabbos should be dependent on this as well. The Marshal might assume that Kavsa Be'er Shabbos Zokokla, because he claims that you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah whatsoever until Shkia. Until Shkia, nothing has begun. You've set the Nair into motion, but you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. So you could disagree with the Marshal for one of three reasons. You could either say that the Maisa Hadlaka fulfills the mitzvah completely, or you could agree with the Marshal fundamentally to say that the mitzvah is only fulfilled by having the Ner Dolek, but you can disagree with the Marshal by saying that either maybe on Erev Shabbos the Zman HaMitzvah is shifted to before Shkia, so you've actually begun to fulfill the Mitzvah proper, or you could say like the Shema Sadeshen, that even if the Zman HaMitzvah has not shifted to before Shkia, but the Hechsher Mitzvah has begun then, and Al Pidin, the Hechsher Mitzvah is viewed as a Kiyom Mitzvah, not only vis-a-vis Aseido Halose, but even vis-a-vis this halach of Kavsa Zavukla. One of the interesting exceptions to the rule of Kavsa and Zavukla, the way we paskin, is a situation in which a person has lit the Ner Chanukah, and there's no expectation that the Ner Chanukah is going to remain lit for the requisite amount of time. The question that's raised by the poskim is, what happens if a person lights the Ner Chanukah in a windy place? Let's say he's not lighting outside, he's not lighting inside, but rather outside. Right? Many of us light inside, even if we light in the window so people can see, but it's inside, so there's not much of an issue when it comes to wind. I guess it could be some kind of scenario inside as well. If your heater is blowing too much, someone is going to open and close the door, and it's obvious that they're going to open and close the door, there will be some kind of a draft, and the Ner Chanukah can go out. But this was really discussed primarily in a circumstance in which people were lighting outside, and there was the concern that the wind is going to blow the Ner Chanukah out. It was expected that the wind was going to blow the Ner Chanukah out. This is a Shilta Giborim that the Magen Avraham quotes in Source 9. V'im ha'amida b'mokom ha'ruach v'kavsa zokokla. The Shilta Giborim says that if you put the Ner Chanukah in a windy place and it goes out, zokokla, a person has to relight the Ner. D'hava ki'ilu lo nosan bo shemen kishir. It's as if he didn't put enough shemen in the Nair. We know the Gemara and Shabbos and Chaval from the base as we started with. The Gemara says, Mitzvosim Yishetishka Chama Shetichla Regal Min Ashuk. You have to put, according to the second interpretation of the Gemara, that Bryce is telling us that you have to put a certain measure of oil in the Nair. So the Shulta Givorim creates an equation over here. He sets forth an equation that if a person sets up the Nair Chanukah in a windy place, and he knows, but good and well, that the Nair Chanukah is not going to remain lit, that's like putting only half the oil in the Nair. If you put only a partial amount of oil in the Nair, you can't be yotze the mitzvah. So Soto, if he puts it in a windy place, he's not going to be yotze the mitzvah. Based on the Shulta Giborim, the Maril Diskin called into question the old Minig Yerushalayim and the Minig in other places that they light outside in a glass box. And they open up the box either on the side or on top in order to light the Neiros. And they close the box. They're lighting in a windy place. They don't expect the Neiros to be able to burn if they don't put it in the box. That's why they put it in the box to begin with. But they're lighting in such a way that at the time of the Hadlaka, if they were to leave the box open, the Neiros probably would not stay lit. But they close the box later. By closing the box later, they're ensuring that the Neiros are not going to go out. Maril Diskin said he didn't think that should be okay, because based on the Shulta Giborim, if a person lights in a windy place, he's not yotze the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's like he didn't put enough shemen in the Ner. So why should it matter that they close the box later, as long as at the time of the Hadlaka itself, the wind is going to put the Neros out? He shouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. The Maisa Hadlaka is bipsul. There's a deficient Hadlaka. So how can you possibly yotze? So he was machmer, Maril Diskin was machmer, to have a box which opened from the bottom. Now it must have opened from the bottom on the side, right? There was a bottom that the menorah could stand on. If not, how could you put the menorah on? But somehow it opened from the bottom, and he was able to put his hand up. I don't know how he constructed such a box, but they did it for him. And he was able to put his hand up, light all the narrows, not get burnt, get his hand out, and everything was good. So in that circumstance, he didn't think that there would be a problem, because even according to the Shulta Giborim, this is not putting the Ner Chanukah in a windy place, because the wind is not going to come up. I mean, if you have a wind tunnel, I guess it could come up through any hole, but obviously it's much easier for the wind to come up from the side to affect the Ner if it comes in from the side or from the top. How can we be melamed tzlus? How can we justify the minhag that others have? They don't have such a complicated contraption that the box opens from the bottom, it just opens from the side or from the top. There are many people in other communities, I don't know, in Borough Park, in Muncie, maybe in Teaneck, I don't know, there must be places where people light outside. The sakana that the Gemara describes, the persecution that the non-Jews will persecute us for lighting their Neres Chanukah, doesn't apply bizmanas as much. So there are many people who try to light outside, and they will light in these kinds of fish bowls, right, a fish tank, or other glass boxes. How can we be melamed tzlus on these individuals? So the poskim suggest two different answers as to how we can justify the minhag to light in the box, even if we'll open the box on the top or the side. First of all, maybe we could disagree with the Shulta Gibarim's equation. The whole problem with the Shulta Gibarim is that he equates lighting the Ner Chanukah in a windy place to not putting enough shemen in the Ner. Is that really a good comparison? Maybe one could suggest the two are very different. If a person doesn't put enough shemen in the Ner, so the actual hadlaka is lacking something. He's lighting the Ner, but there's something missing from that lighting. So maybe in such a circumstance, a person can't be yotzei. The original hadlaka is deficient. But if a person just puts the Ner Chanukah in a windy place, the wind is an external factor that's operating on the Ner Chanukah. Maybe we shouldn't say that in such a circumstance there's a deficiency in the Maisa hadlaka itself. Maybe the only time that the hadlaka is viewed as deficient is if something involved in the hadlaka itself, if the ner, if the psila, if the shemen, is something in the hadlaka itself that's deficient, maybe that's the only time that there would really be a problem. But here there's what they call ikuv min achutz, there's some external factor that's operating on the ner Chanukah. Maybe that's not enough to define this hadlaka as being deficient. That's one possibility that the poskim suggest. It's a little bit dachuk, and the reason why it's dachuk is because the Magen Avraham quotes the Shulta Gibarim. So if you quote the Shulta Gibarim, and that's the equation the Shulta Gibarim sets up, it's hard to argue with the Shulta Gibarim outright. Right? It would seem much better if we could accept the Shulta Gibarim and nevertheless find some distinction. That would probably be better. But there are poskim are saying, even though the Magen Avraham quotes the Shulta Gibarim, the Dina, maybe we could disagree with the whole Shulta Gibarim. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Mikroi Kodesh suggests a different answer. He says, if you look carefully at the Lashon of the Shulta Gibarim that the Magen Avraham quotes, you see that even the Shulta Gibarim felt that the equation that the Maril Diskin understood in the Shulta Gibarim is not really accurate. The Shulta Gibarim never meant to make such a complete equation, to say that if a person puts the Ner Chanukah in a windy place, it's as if he didn't put enough shemen in the Ner. No, what the Shulta Gibarim meant to say is that if he puts the Ner Chanukah in a windy place, v'kavsa, if the Ner Chanukah goes out, then the dispensation of kavsa in Zavagla doesn't apply. He didn't mean to say that the hadlaka is deficient. No, it's a good hadlaka, but the idea of kavsa in Zavagla doesn't apply. Why is it the kavsa in Zavagla? That's because the person did what he was supposed to do. There was no pshir, there was no negligence involved. So Chazal would not matriarch the individual to relight the Ner. Or Chazal would say that once the Maisa Hadlok is done, that's it. But here there's a Pshia, right? If a person were to be Poshea, so then he'd have to relight the Ner. What happens over here? He put the Ner Chanukah in a windy place. Was there any Pshia? So what did this Pshia? The Ner didn't go out. Since he closed the box in time, so there was no Pshia over here. And whether there was a pshia or not, the reality is the Ner Chanukah didn't go out. All the Shulta Gibarim says is that if you put the Ner Chanukah in a windy place and it goes out, kavsa zavagla, that's all he's saying. He's telling you a distinction. He's telling you an exception to the rule of kavsa ein zavagla. He's not telling you that the hadlaka is going to be deficient. That's exactly the lashon of the Magen Avraham. What does he say again? The im hamida b'makom haruach v'kavsa zavagla. That's all the Shulta Gibarim says. It's an exception to the rule of kavsa and zavagla. It's not telling us that the hadlaka is deficient. So if that's the case, then even if a person lights in a glass box in such a way that at the time of the actual hadlaka, The wind could put out the nair. It shouldn't be a problem, because as long as he closed the box in time and the wind never put out the nair, there is no kofsa. If there's no kofsa, we don't have to worry about the whole shulta gibar, because his comment was simply discussing the case of kofsa in that situation where you put the nair in the windy place. But if it's low kofsa, so then there's nothing really to discuss. We mentioned that if a person is mechaber the nair biyadayin b'mezin intentionally, he has to relight the nair. Why? Because Chazal put a knas on the individual. There's an exception even to that. The Shulchan Aruch says that even if a person is mechaber the nair b'mezin, there's one exception to the rule. And that is if the nair has already lasted the requisite amount of time. It makes sense. We know there's an amount of time, mishatishka achama chitichla regal min ashuk. So the Shulchan Aruch says that as long as it lasted that amount of time, it's fine. This is in Source 14. Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to put it out once the Zman HaMitzvah is over. This is Nogea L'maisa. A person lights the Ner Chanukah, then he has to go somewhere. So as long as it's burnt for the half hour, he can put it out. Where do I get half hour from? Well, that's the Rif and the Rush. The Rif and the Rush, in explaining that Gemara, they both explain what kind of a shir is this, how long is this. They say it's Kemo Chatzi Shur. So presumably, one would imagine that until half an hour, a person has to leave the nair burning. One would not be allowed to be mechaber the nair b'mezid. But after half an hour, one would be allowed to be mechaber the nair b'mezid. The post can point out, though, that it's not so clear. This shear of half an hour is not in the Gemara. That's what the Rishonim said in explaining the Gemara. But since the lashon of the Gemara is tichla regel min ashuk, the impression you get is that the shear of shemen that you have to put in the Ner Chanukah really should depend on when the regel min ashuk is kala, when people leave, when people come inside. It would appear from the Gemara that really the shear for the Ner Chanukah is a function of the audience of the Pirsumei Nisa. If the audience of Pirsumei Nisa is the people walking around outside, so as long as there are people walking around outside, one would have to leave the Ner Chanukah burning. This is what the Ritva, in his commentary to Masechta Shabbos, writes. This is Source 11. At the end of the line, the Ritva writes, "V'chol makom hadavar hazeh kafi mashahu." Tichla regel min ashuk is not a standard time. It's not an exact time. It depends on who's walking around in the marketplace. If people are walking around in the marketplace after half an hour after Shkia, right, half an hour after Shkia, then you have to leave the Ner Chanukah burning even longer than that. This is a famous diuk that the Briskei Rav had in the Rambam as well. The Rambam in Source 10 in Hilchas Megillah, Perek Dalet, the Rambam in describing the shir for Ner Chanukah, he says that mitzvos mishitishka achama shetichla regel min ashuk, and then he says kama huzman zeh. This is in the middle of the second line there in Source 10. Kama huzman zeh kemo chatzi sha o yeser. The Rambam writes that kemo chatzi sha, it's approximately chatzi sha, maybe a little bit more. What does that mean, maybe a little bit more? So the Mishnah Berurah says the Rambam didn't mean anything by that. All the Rambam meant is the same as the Rif and the Rush. The Rif and the Rush both say that the shear of tichla regel min ashuk is about chatzi sha, it's about half an hour, but it's lav dafka, it's not exactly that amount of time. That's what the Mishnah Berurah thought. The Briskei Rav felt, no, if the Rambam was lav dafka, so then he would have been enough to say zeh kemo chatzi shah. Why does he say, oh yes, sir, a little bit more? Said the Briskei Rav, the Rambam probably assumed, like the Ritva, that the shir for Shemesh Avener is somewhat elastic. It's dependent on when the Pirsumei Nisa is going to take place. It's well known that when the Briskei Rav lived in Yerushalayim, toward the end of his life, his apartment was right opposite the old Edison Theater. So the Briskei Rav was very careful to leave the Neres Chanukah in his home outside of the apartment, burning until the end of the last movie in the movie theater. Because he wanted to make sure that he could be Mekayim the mitzvah of the Chanukah properly, with all the proper Pirsumei Nisa. So he felt that his Pirsumei Nisa, the audience of his Pirsumei Nisa, were the people coming out of the movie theater. So therefore he left his Neres Chanukah burning until the end of the last movie. I think this is the extent of the Briskei Rav's connection to movies. So, from these Rishonim, the impression you get is that the Pirsumei Nisa, the Shir Shemen Shebener, by Ner Chanukah, is a function of the audience of the Pirsumei Nisa. So, putting two and two together, what should emerge is that If the sheer shemen shebener is a function of the audience of the Pesum Enisa l'chumra, maybe we could say that l'kula as well. L'kula, how could we do that? Isn't the shear of Mishatishka Hamat Shatichla Regal Minashuk, isn't that half an hour? What we could be making l'kula? The answer is yes, because the Gemara points out that even though the best way to light the Ner Hanukkah is outside one's home or to put it in the window, but at a time of Sakona, Minich al Shulchan Avadayo. A person can just put it on the table inside the home and it's enough. He doesn't have to be mefarsim the nes to people on the outside. If it's a time of Sakona, a person is concerned that the non-Jews are going to persecute him for lighting Ner Hanukkah, so he just leaves it inside. Who's the Pirsum Enisa for then? Not for the people on the outside, but for the people on the inside, for the members of his household. So if the Pirsum Enisa is for the members of the household in a time of Sakana, then one could posit the notion that maybe once the members of the household have seen the Neres Chanukah, one could put out the Neres Chanukah even before half an hour. Because what's the purpose of leaving it burning even longer than that? Is there really any inyan? They've seen the Neres Chanukah. One has fulfilled the Pirsum Enisa to the greatest extent possible. In fact, the Darkei Moshe, the Ramban, his comments to the Torah, quotes from a Kovetz. He quotes this notion from a Kovetz. He found some kuntras somewhere that says that Bismana Zeh, that we light inside, for those who do light inside and aren't mefarsim the neis to the people on the outside, to those walking in the street, so then one should not really have to take long neiros. You could take shorter neiros. He says, Bismana Zeh en shir le neiros Chanukah, mehai taima oma shemishirot zel lokeach neiros ketanim, ava bishayin dolkim ki im zman muat, even though they only can burn for a short amount of time, so what? The fact is, you fulfill the mitzvah Pirsum Enisa completely, kedas or kedin, because if Bizman Azef, at a time of Sakana, you're lighting inside, so your Pirsum Enisa is not for the people outside, so the people inside. So once they've seen the neighbors, there should be no problem. This halacha, this possibility, is quite important. There's quite many ramifications, many nachkamin lemaisa in this shita, because a person who wants to go out after lighting Neres Chanukah, he's lighting inside. Maybe he only has to light for 5 minutes so everyone sees the Ner and that's it. He shouldn't have to leave the Ner was burning. The Mishnah Berurah, though, in Source 15, the final word, the Mishnah Berurah says, Av bizmanenu tzorech l'shir hazeh. That even bizmanenu we paskin that you need the minimum of a half an hour. What the Mishnah Berurah is saying is, even if you'll tell me that the zman of tichla regel min ashuk can be elastic l'chumra, but l'kula it's not. Chazal instituted a minimum of a half an hour. So the Neros have to burn at least a half an hour. Even if you're going to light inside and your Pirsum Enisa is for the B'nai HaBayis, for the members of the household, not for those outside in the street, there's a minimum shear, the Mishnah Berurah says, against the Darkei Moshe's Kovetz, there's a minimum shear that it has to burn for the half an hour. But this is Nogei Lamais in a different context. And in the other context, maybe there is room to be Mekom. And that is regarding lighting in Shul. We know that aside from lighting in the home, there's a minute to light in the Beis HaKnesses. There are different reasons given for that lighting. What's the halacha? We know normally we light between Mincha and Maariv. So in such a circumstance, lighting between Mincha and Maariv is not such a concern. Maariv itself is going to take about 15 minutes. The actual hadlaka will take 5 minutes. So by the time you turn around, it's almost half an hour anyway. But when is it Nogei L'maisa? Matzeh Shabbos. Because Matzeh Shabbos, we light in Shul after Maariv. So if we're going to be machmer to assume that the Neres Chanukah have to be burning for at least half an hour, that's a big chumrah. You're going to require the gabbai to stay around unless you arrange the hadlaka in such a way that you're not concerned that there'll be any kind of fire hazard. If you're afraid of the fire hazard, so then you'll have to have the gabbai waiting around for half an hour before he puts out the Neros. Everyone's going home to their families, and the gabbai has to stick around. Is there any room for kula? So according to the Darkei Moshe's Kovetz, absolutely, one could be mekel, because bizman hazeh, that we assume that the Pirsum Enisa is for the people inside, the Kovetz wants to say that you don't have to leave the candles burning for so long. Lighting in shul, clearly the Pirsum Enisa is for the people in the shul, so once they go home, that Pirsum Enisa is over. So if you'll take the Kovetz seriously, so then when it comes to lighting in shul, one should be able to put out the neiros after everyone has gone home. The problem is the Mishnah Berurah assumes that there's a minimum shir of chazal v'masakim. So someone has suggested we should be machmir for that Mishnah Berurah when it comes to lighting in shul, that we should either put some non-flammable material below the table that has the Neres Chanukah on it to make sure no fire will occur, chalila, and we can go home, but we have to leave the Neres burning. Others have the gabbai stick around for the half an hour. But some want to suggest that maybe since the lighting in shul is only a minig b'yalma, maybe we can suggest that Chazal perhaps didn't pattern it after the actual hadlok and the bias as rigorously as you would think, especially according to the reason that's given in the Rishonim, that the purpose of the hadlok and shul is not to be motzi people who sleep in the shul. That was one reason given. But rather, it's to be mefarsim l'neis barabim. Now that our main hadlaka at home is not mefarsim l'neis barabim, now we want to be mefarsim l'neis barabim, someone could suggest that the hadlaka in shul is really fundamentally different than the hadlaka at home. So if that's the case, maybe there might be room to be mekel in shul, that even before the half hour, as long as everyone in shul has seen the neiros, maybe someone could put the neiros out. Freilich and Chanukah.
I didn't quite understand the raya that comes to Sedeshin
We'll see you next week, December 20th. Shirin from Shmuel Hain.